Hello, everyone. It is time for office hours. I am your coach of the evening, Kathy. I'm going to let everybody come on in. Here's how we roll, y'all. If you're new, I'm here until 8 o'clock Central Time. All you have to do is come in and raise your hand. I get a list of whose hands are raised, and I just start calling you up and coaching you, and then I move to the next person. If you all want to talk amongst yourselves, you can do so in the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, I'm the only one who sees your post, and I don't check them very often unless there's no hands raised. But luckily, tonight, we have some hands, and I'm super glad about that. I'm glad you guys are showing up and asking for some help. So, I have Lisa, and then I have Cammie. And then we'll work our way through the list. So, Lisa, you're first. This is awesome. Love seeing these hands raised. Hello. Oh, wait a minute. I can't hear you. Say something. Oh, now you're unmuted on my side, but something, you have a setting on your side that needs to be fixed. Look in the bottom left and see if yeah, you're... there you are.
Oh, you can hear me now?
Yeah. What happened? Did it just take a minute to connect?
I think it just took a minute to connect, yeah.
Well, all right. Excellent.
Okay.
All right. What's up?
I'm not exactly sure. I was filling out my book yesterday or this morning, and I got to this commitment part about, so how committed are you to this plan? And I actually ended with a blank page. So I was writing. So I ended up writing a whole lot. And I was thinking, I wrote down that, yes, I'm totally committed. Like, I feel like I'm always committed. If I write down my plan, I sort of feel like I'm always committed. But I worried that I'm not being realistic. Like, I always follow my plan, but then on days that I don't, it's just like, oh, well, something came up. So
what do you mean you're worried about? What does that mean when you say you're worried about being realistic? What are you talking about?
I don't plan. I don't ever really, well, not ever, but I guess lately, like, I'm not planning for things like for exceptions. Like, I guess I do sometimes, but I don't know. I guess it just feels like I'm not experimenting enough. Like, I was listening to a bunch of things that talk about, you know, trying different things, and I don't feel like I'm doing that. I feel like, okay, I'm planning my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner, and then I eat that, and then that's it. And so I don't know, but I don't really want to experiment because I'm being successful right now. So yeah.
So what's wrong with not wanting to experiment? What's wrong with staying the course as long as you're happy with where you are and you're following your plans? And
I'm worried that I'm not learning enough, or that I'm not.
What are you missing out? Are you worried you're missing out on something? What do you think you're missing out on?
On, I don't know, figuring out how I can eat things that I want to eat without and still lose weight.
Like, okay.
It ties into, I was thinking about the whole idea of comfort food.
Okay.
And I was thinking, well, what is comfort food when you take the food out? There's like, and so then I'm like, well, what if I need to plan what I would have normally thought of as, so like, you know, I'm feeling crappy today, I want to eat something. What am I going to do instead of that? Or how do I plan that? I don't know. I know, you know, I've seen things where they talk about knowing your body and knowing like certain times of the month, that type of thing, that you're going to want to eat more, or you're going to want more carbs or things like that. I have no idea. And I don't know how I'll know.
So what you want, and you want to come on this call and you want me to say, this is exactly everything Lisa needs to do. Lisa needs to eat. Lisa needs to try. Here's your rule book for everything you need to know to lose weight.
Yes.
Yes.
That, can you can do that. Okay.
No. That's this is so good. I love this call already. I really, really do, because I try probably not so well sometimes to explain this concept. I bet you just started, didn't you? Did you just start in September?
No, June.
June. Yeah. Okay. Close enough.
Yeah.
What you want is exactly what we're trying to teach you how to do for yourself.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because only you know your body, know what you like, know what reacts in your body, what helps you poop and not poop, what foods burn quickly, what foods seem to make you hungrier. You know, if I eat an apple, you'd think that'd be a good snack, right? Not for me. I'm hungry like a half hour later and hungrier than I was when I started. There's something about the juices in that apple that churns up my system, and my system's like, we're going to have some more food. We're going to have it now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's not everybody. Some people, you know, eat apples every day and they're just fine with them. My point is, what you want is up to you to create. And that's everything about this whole protocol week.
Okay.
Is you start with everything you know works well, everything you like, and then as you work the program and listen to your hunger scale and watch your body signals and watch how your body processes food and watch how your hunger spikes or what keeps you full longer, your protocol kind of morphs, evolves.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So you're all in if you're curious every time you eat. And if you're paying attention every time you eat and you're doing your journaling and you're making your plans and you're seeing what works and you're following plans or figuring out why you didn't follow plan.
Okay. So yeah, there is a little spot for that beginning hunger scale and ending hunger scale. And I've never actually used that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, also in the journal, I have mine right here. This is what's interesting to me too. More data you can get. You know me, I love the data, right? If I had my 10 key right here, I'd be going after it. But also in that same hunger scale block, it says there's a little place to put the time you ate.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So if you're at -2 at breakfast at 9 o'clock and you eat an apple and you're at +2, you know that if you're hungry again at 10 o'clock, like I would be, you're at -2 again at 10 o'clock, like I would be, that you can go back and look and say, you know, I ate an apple an hour ago. That apple must not keep me satisfied. What can I eat with the apple, or what should I eat instead of the apple? That's how you process the information that this 24-hour plan and assessment page gives you.
Okay.
You translate that over to where you keep your protocol. In your protocol worksheet, or you can, you know, write it down wherever you want. And you might make a note next to apple that says, this is a great snack if I need to be hungry again in an hour.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That does make sense. It's sort of right here in front of me.
Yeah. It's like, that's why I love this call so much. Because you're taking all the little pieces and building your own instruction book for how you lose weight.
Yes.
And everybody's instruction book is going to be different because everybody likes different things. Do you like beets?
At a restaurant, if someone makes them for me.
Yeah, not me. On my protocol, it says no beets, period. Okay. Yeah. But I love, what do I love? Broccoli. Do you like broccoli?
Yes.
I eat broccoli like almost every week. I roast a pan of broccoli every week and I keep it in the refrigerator when I need a warm vegetable. There it is. So, you know, everybody's going to be different. There's probably things that I eat that you don't like, although I'm a pretty basic eater. You know, I'm not one of those people that goes out and tries a whole lot of new things either.
Okay.
Because I don't really need to. I'm happy with what I have. Keep my weight off with what I have. My issue is my hunger scale. I like to overeat, which means I got to pull out a recovery worksheet a few times a week. Okay. It's not what I'm eating. It's whether or not I'm following my hunger scale.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of the protocol as helping that way, but I can see, like what you've said, I could also use the protocol to start identifying what I consider comfort foods, maybe, or.
Now that we've talked about the protocol and the instruction book, let's talk about comfort foods.
Okay.
Why do you need comfort food?
I don't know. I thought of that as I said it. It's opening another can of worms here.
Well, is there really such a thing as comfort food?
There shouldn't be. And no, there really isn't. Food doesn't make me comfortable. Right.
Food doesn't make you comfortable. All food does is distracts you from whatever is bothering you.
Right.
And puts, you know, a little bit more whatever on your hips.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Because nobody eats broccoli when they're sad.
No.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
So do you want to talk about comfort food? Let's talk about comfort food.
Okay. I tried it today. I did not comfort food, but I was feeling sad and I thought, this is that feeling the feelings moment. And I don't know, I didn't like it very much, but I didn't eat, so.
Well, I don't guess anybody really likes feeling sad. Mm-hmm. But I think when it comes to the feelings like sad or frustrated or angry, that usually are our cues to go have a, you know, box of chocolates or something. Those are just uncomfortable feelings. Nobody really likes them. They're just uncomfortable. They pass and they're normal. It's part of life is feeling all the feelings.
Right.
Heard somebody say one time that you wouldn't understand happy or hopeful or anything, you know, on that positive side if you didn't understand the sad part. If you were happy all the time, it wouldn't be special.
Right. Yeah. Right? It wouldn't have meaning. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So when you're feeling sad, it's much better. Sorry, there's something going on with my glasses. It's much better to actually feel that feeling and acknowledge it, figure out why you're sad, you know, because it's always a thought that Yes. creates a feeling. And then decide if that's a thought that needs to, you know, be on replay or if it's one that you need to work on.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sometimes I find it hard to pinpoint what that thought is, but
I can give you a really easy way to pinpoint it.
What's that?
You ask yourself, why am I sad? And you write.
Okay.
3 or 4 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
The answer is going to be a thought.
All right. And then go back and look through that to find the thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had a death in the family this weekend. Over the weekend, they found my niece. And I felt sad, right?
Guess, yeah.
But it was okay because I was supposed to feel sad. That's, you know, it's okay to feel sad sometimes. It's okay, you know, to understand that sad is part of the process. It's part of life, right? Corinne felt sad. She had a friend pass away over the weekend.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need to cover that up. You just need to acknowledge it and allow it to be there. I'm not going to replace it with happy that she's gone. No. I'm just going to be okay with being sad. So that's how, you know, I just allow that. And Corinne allowed her sad. And you just work through it and you understand that there's a thought that creates it. No need to eat over it because it's not going away.
Right.
And you just, you know, allow it to be
accepting.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah. You accept that it's going to be there.
Right.
Right.
No, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, next time you say, use the term comfort food, I want you to think about me asking you. Is there really a thing?
There's really no category.
No, it doesn't fall in the list under vegetables or desserts or anything like that. There is no, you know, it's funny. I think the food industry would want us to think there was such a thing as comfort food, but there's really not, not unless we want to wear it on our hips, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I know that every time I think it, I'm like, I know that's not a thing, but.
Yeah. Well, when you have that thought, you just kind of laugh at it and you say, you know what? I hear you. Comfort food, that's a thought. And yeah. That's a thought I'm working on not even thinking anymore.
Right.
You know, you just kind of talk back to it. You know, you kind of give it a little, that was cute. Now I'm on to the next thing.
Okay. Yeah, I can totally do that. Okay. Thank you. Yep.
You got anything else?
Nope. I think that's it. That's good for now.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Kathy.
See you. Bye. That was fun. All right. Cami, then Marcia. All right. Let's unmute you. Okay.
Hi.
Hello. I can hear you. Yay.
So, all right. So my question is around exception foods.
Okay.
I'm an April baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I have pretty much steered away from planning an exception food or exception meal.
Okay.
Until just recently, because I feel that that's not the way I'm going to live my life the rest of my life.
Right.
And so I have a lot of mental work to do work around it, because it's not going well in my head.
What's not going well?
Okay. Well, I planned an exception meal on Sunday mm-hmm. with my daughter. So it was for breakfast, go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I had French toast, sausage, scrambled eggs. And so then I ate that, but then it didn't sit well in my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel good yesterday. I don't really feel good today from it still. So it's, and then my brain went back to, my weight is up. So my brain went back to the old diet mentality of, you know, I told you so, you shouldn't have ate that. Now your weight is up, you're not feeling good. So I don't know where to go.
All right. Did you eat to your two?
Yes, I did. I
left. Absolutely. No question. You left food behind and all the, yes. All the things.
Yep,
okay.
I did that.
All right.
I think some of it, I've been thinking about it all day. I think some of it is my body does not like the flour anymore, like from the bread.
Oh, yes.
I mean, possibly. I'm just trying to figure out why I physically don't feel good. I'm constipated, so that's part of it, too. The food made me constipated. And then I drank a ton of water yesterday. And my body basically absorbed it instead of facing it. So I drank water today, just finally started peeing every half hour, basically this afternoon. But it's that whole old diet, fat girl, I don't know, mentality that I just, around
this.
Foods.
So you planned an exception meal. You executed it beautifully. You ate it. You enjoyed it to your two.
I did.
You figured out that something in that meal doesn't agree with you.
Right.
Why is this a problem? Why is this not just data?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why? Now answer, why is this a problem?
I don't know. My brain just goes right back to, you know, basically just shaming myself. You know, why did you do that? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have ate that.
Okay. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is that the truth?
No, it's not.
It's not right. What you did happens to every single one of us. Sometimes it happens on an exception meal. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I can eat something I fixed and it didn't agree with me. Right? You ever fixed a meal and said, I don't feel so good after that. You know, something in that meal just didn't sit well with me. Has nothing to do with whether or not it was an exception meal. What it has to do with is you looking at what you ate to figure out what it was about it that didn't work for you. It could have been the flour. It absolutely could have been the flour. If you're not used to eating flour and you have cleaned all of that out of your system, the first time you reintroduce it, you could have said, oh my gosh, I had no idea that flour didn't agree with me. Instead, you went to, see, you shouldn't have exception meals. Right?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I was even nervous to even put an exception meal on my plan to begin with because I've done so well.
Yeah.
And I just, but.
So you don't think you can do well with exception meals?
Well, my brain doesn't think so at the moment because it just had a backfire on me.
It didn't backfire on you.
Yeah.
Your body didn't like what you ate, which could have been exception related. It could. What did you have for lunch Sunday?
On Sunday, I had a salad with chicken.
Okay. What if the chicken wasn't quite right?
Yeah, it was very salty.
Uh-huh. What if it was the chicken that had you not maintaining?
It could be. I guess it could be.
What is the word? Retaining all this water. You're blaming this French toast. What if it was the chicken?
Yeah.
What if it had nothing to do with the exception meal?
True.
But your brain wants to go back to the old diet rules and say, you can't eat French toast and lose weight.
So how do I stop that? Because the exception meal thing is I'm really struggling with.
Uh-huh. You stop
really
that.
Out of
you,
all the stuff.
You stop that with your mind. You have a belief that you can't lose weight on with exception meals.
I do. Yeah. Okay. I will say that. Yes.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you that that's not true. And I don't really think you believe it's true. I think you're just holding on to it because it gives you some sense of, if I don't eat that, I won't overeat it. I won't gain weight. You know, you have some kind of story around exceptions. A lot of people do this. A lot of people who come to us who have done keto and stuff in the past have fear of carbs too. It's the same thing. You already have this preconceived story in your mind about exception foods.
I do.
And that's the story that you have to work on.
On my very first protocol I made back in April, I put on there no exception foods. I wrote that right down on my protocol. So when I redid it in September, I changed that. But
so you went and had this exception meal.
Yes.
And you don't really know if that's what upset your system or not.
No.
But you're blaming the exception meal.
Yeah, I am.
So you know what your assignment is, right?
Have another exception meal?
Yeah, you need to plan one.
Do I have to have one every week, though?
Why don't you want one every week? Don't you want what? Here's what's going to happen. How much weight have you lost?
27 pounds.
And how much do you want to lose?
Around 75 to 80, 90.
All right. You lose another 75 pounds, your goal weight. What happens then? Are you still afraid of exception meals, or are you like, well, I'm at goal weight. Let's take a look at this protocol. I'm here now.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
I need to work on it on the way down.
Exactly. Because if you limit yourself all the way down and you lose that 75 pounds, you're going to feel really great. You're going to be at goal weight, but I bet you're not going to want to keep limiting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want, you know, to be diverse in your food options. You're going to want to have a little exception meal. You're going to want some birthday cake sometime, or some, if you're like me, you're going to want some cheesecake. You know, you're going to want some French fries every now and then. But hey, I'm at goal weight. I can eat now. That's what we do. That's why all of us before PMP rebounded, gained our weight back.
That's true.
We didn't learn how to eat those things. We didn't trust ourselves to eat those things on the way down and believe that we would still lose weight doing it.
That's true. I don't trust myself.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
You think if you totally restrict out that stuff, your brain will be like, I never have to I'm not going to have to think about that. I'm not going to have to deal with it. I'm going to totally restrict it. I'm going to lose my weight. Everything's going to be great. Then when I've lost my weight, I'll just see what happens. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, I know what's going to happen if you don't practice eating exceptions on the way down.
So should I practice? I mean, how often should I practice?
What does No BS say?
One time a week?
Yeah. Ugh. Does it have to be a whole meal? No.
Okay.
But it can be a glass of wine. It can be dessert. It can be French fries. It can be whatever you consider an exception to your regular protocol.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You eat it to your two, just like you did. You look like super uncomfortable right now.
I was thinking last week, though, I did have spaghetti, and pasta was one of my things that was on my exception list.
Well, oh, really? And you survived it?
I did survive, but I had just a tiny bit of spaghetti, mm-hmm. and then I had a big salad with it.
Okay.
I survived that. Mm-hmm. I've survived eating Oreos off plan.
See, and you still have lost 27 pounds.
I have.
So when you start thinking of it in those terms, because yeah, I should have asked you that question. Mm. You know, have you been perfect on your plans all this time?
No,
apparently not. So no. you've been having unplanned exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So the difference is eating them intentionally,
mm-hmm.
rather than reactive eating.
Correct.
So all this stuff that you've got going on in your head about, I can't eat exceptions, is just a big fat whopping lie your brain's telling you.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. I'll do my homework.
Yeah. So what are you going to plan this weekend? Or is it going to be this weekend? What's the next exception you're going to plan?
It's going to be not this weekend. It's going to be next weekend on the 28th because that's my birthday.
Okay. What are you going to eat?
I'm going to have cheesecake.
Oh, girl after my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
I had some this past weekend. Planned it and everything.
Yeah.
It was delicious. I was super proud of myself because I took my sister-in-law to the Cheesecake Factory when we went shopping. It was her birthday. And I did not finish my cheesecake. I was like, I think I'm at a two, and I really don't want to be miserable. And I boxed it up. I was super proud of myself.
That's really good.
Yeah. I was super proud of myself. So good for you. Happy birthday early.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right.
You feel better about it now?
I do. Yep. I'll keep working at it.
All right. Make sure you're telling yourself the truth.
Okay. I will.
Okay.
All right. See you. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Marcia, then Lindsay.
Hi.
Let's see if we can get that video started. Here you come. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What's up?
Well, I'm an April baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not in a stall because I'm not following plan enough. I have watched my weight fluctuate for the last 3 months with the same 5 pounds. And I look at I've got all my data sitting in front of me, and I lost weight initially, and I was, and I've done a plan and an assessment every single day, and I do a recovery worksheet when I overeat. But in July, I was 64% on plan. In August, I was 55% on plan. And so far in September, I think I'm about 35% on plan. And I feel like it's little quits.
Little quits. So what's going on that you're not staying on plan? Are you not planning realistically, or are you like just saying, I don't feel like that?
No, I plan pretty realistically and I follow for the most part, but it's things like desserts, cookies that come in, things that are, I put in the freezer that I think, okay, I'll just not have that. And then sometimes it's usually after dinner, actually, I will kind of remember that they're in there and go back and get them. And then once I get them, then I get, you know, F it. And it's like, well, maybe I should just have two or three now since I've already had one. Mm-hmm. I have to write the recovery worksheet anyway.
Oh, that's always a good one.
Oh, it's terrible.
May as well make it worth the recovery worksheet, right?
I wrote it down. I was looking at my recovery worksheets.
So is it always after dinner?
No.
No.
But most of the time, if it's an overeat, yeah.
So is it, well, that sounds like an off-plan eat, not an overeat.
Well,
are you planning the cookies?
No.
Okay, so it's off plan.
Yes.
And an overeat, likely, but definitely.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes they're just off plan and sometimes it's both.
So just if this is your habit to eat out of the freezer after dinner, why is it not on your plan?
It was when I started.
Oh.
I mean,
when you were following plan 64% of the time?
No, it was when I was following 95% of the
okay.
time.
Okay, so why did they come off the plan?
Because I was doing so well with my weight loss.
Oh, we're doing good in our weight loss, so we restrict some more?
Yeah, that's kind of what it seemed like. I think, you know, I saw what was working, and so it was like, okay, this is the plan. And since this is working, then I got to put this on every day. I mean, at the very beginning, I remember taking a dessert, and I was eating two bites of it a day for a week. And I felt really good about that. Mm-hmm. But it was on the plan.
Yeah. So why did it come off the plan?
Because I think I thought that was the way I was supposed to lose weight.
But you pulled it off the plan when you were losing weight. Now you're maintaining, not because you're eating two bites of dessert, but because you're having the F it moment that says, hey, I'm doing a recovery worksheet. Let's just have more.
Yeah. Yep.
So why not go back to planning a couple bites of dessert every night? That way you can decide, do you really want it?
And when I have done that once or twice in the last few weeks, and when I do that, it does work.
Shocking, right? Here's what happens, okay? If you put it on the plan, you're doing so with the conscious part of your brain. A part of your brain that's real logical and forward thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you see it on the plan, that same part of your brain decides whether or not it's going to actually have some. Do I really want this tonight? Nah. Yeah, I do. You know, you're making a decision and that's good. If you don't put it on the plan, then this party in the back part of your brain, I love the way Corinne says this. She says, what does she say? Thinking up front, party in the back, something, this reactive yeah. part of your brain. Maybe it's work up front, party in the back. The reactive part of your brain or the primal brain where all the urges are, where all the habits are, it's in there going, yo, Marsha, it's after dinner. Let's have something out of the freezer. Let's, you know, it's time. Oh, and by the way, since you've had one, let's have two or three and make it worth the recovery worksheet. That's all the primal brain, the party in the back part of your brain.
Yeah.
So you've taken all the decision-making power and put it back here where the urges reside, back here where the habits reside, and taken it away from this logical thinking part of your brain. So if you put it on the plan, you're using the work part of your brain rather than the
plan. And I can still decide not to.
Yes. Yes. That's why the realistic plan works. Your plans aren't realistic if you're not planning that stuff and you're eating it anyway.
Well, I was at first.
Yeah, not so much.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it does, but I fight that. I mean, because I know I explained this to the people that I talk to, right? My my buddies, I say, you know, well, if it's on your plan, you can make that decision. And I remember when I first started, I was doing it with peanut butter cups, with Reese's peanut butter cups every single day because it was right around Easter. So,
Tanya says it's business in the front, party in the back.
There you go. It's the mullet brain.
Yeah, it's the mullet brain. It's all nice and well kept up here, and it's like a hot mess back here.
Indeed. Well, I suppose I can. In fact, you know, I on my plans this week, my Marco Polo people will tell you, they say realistic plan. That's my weekly goal this week already. Yeah. So, but I didn't include anything like that because it doesn't lose weight, right?
Yeah, because you're just like Cammy back here judging the food that needs to go on your plan. But you're eating it anyway.
And yeah, 6 months ago, I was okay with understanding that. I was really into the realistic plan. But I'm probably doing it behind my own back, really, in some ways, not acknowledging that.
So I'm going to give you homework too.
Okay.
All right. There is, I don't know if anybody's in the chat that wants to put this link in here, that would be great. In video, on the website, pmptribe.com, if you go to video replays and you go to Corinne's best of rants, page through those until you find her rant on realistic planning. It's a good one. I bet I assign that thing out 3 or 4 times a week.
I could have recited it because I've listened to it many times. Well, so it's
you need to listen to it again.
Definitely so. Because when I started off, that was my secret. It was like, you got to be realistic. And I guess as I bring it out now, it's like, I guess I haven't been. I mean, I include it once a week maybe, but I guess I should probably do it more regularly.
Well, it's funny with something like that, with the different stages you are in your weight loss here. Somebody's asking where it is. I'll talk while I'm looking for it. The different places you are in your weight loss, you're going to hear things that she says, different lessons.
Absolutely.
In different ways. You're going to hear the message a little bit differently, or you're going to hear pieces of the message a little bit differently. I'll find it for you guys. That's why I'm going back through No BS with the rest of the tribe, because I haven't listened to it since probably January, and I need to listen to it too. Let's see. Oh goodness. Let's not go that direction. This is so her, I love the word rant because it totally describes.
Some of them are more rantier than others.
Yes, they are. But this is a super good one. All right, here it is. I'm putting the link in the chat. So make sure that you go back in there and catch it. I'll also put it in the show notes. Okay.
I will do that.
All right. You got anything else?
I don't. Well, I just got back from 2 vacations, and I think that's part of it too. Like, I realized I just spent a whole big long weekend with my family, and I planned as well as I could, knowing what I knew was going to be there. But I also have this family who loved to eat, and they were bringing out sweets on a regular basis. And so I allowed myself to eat those sweets while I was there, but it's been kind of hard bringing it back. I mean, it was only 4 days, but it's like that mentality of it's okay to do it every single day. Not the number. No, I mean, I knew what was going to be there. I mean, we had peanut M&Ms and cookies and I knew what was there, but I didn't say I was only going to have this many.
So what you did was you allowed yourself to eat off plan and call it okay.
Yep.
I bet you didn't do one recovery worksheet on any of that stuff.
That's a good question. I'm not sure if I did or not.
Yeah.
Probably so now, not.
Now you just tell yourself, okay, that's over. Now I'm back on plan and I'm going to create a realistic plan. And all of my accountability people who are listening to this call are going to hold me to it.
Yeah, Alexis is here. I can see her in the... she's making comments in there. So yeah.
Yeah.
I after I got back, I really thought I talked to people ahead of time and I was really going to try and stay really strict. And I think after I got back, I realized I was lying to myself. I think I really didn't plan on following too closely because this is like, yeah. It's a once a year thing. And this is a family culture.
You had all the justifications.
I did.
Right. When you could have planned to eat all the things and been on plan.
But it would still be an overeat because
if you ate past two, plus two. Yep.
Yeah.
Why was that okay?
That's another problem that I'm running into. I think if I'm not mindful, I'm eating past two.
That's all of us.
I have to work on that on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. That's still something I'm working on.
Well, you have to decide what's more important. The discomfort of leaving that food behind or the discomfort of trying to put your pants on or the discomfort you feel on the scale. Pick your discomfort.
Okay, so let me throw this at you.
Okay.
I have lost enough weight that I am really comfortable right now. I still have 25 pounds to lose according to my original goal. And I'm kind of in this space where it's like, I haven't been this low in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So then why do you want to lose 25 more pounds?
Oh, that's a really good question.
If you're this comfortable, why not stay here?
I might have to like journal on that.
Yeah. Because you really, that's just another justification to eat. I've not been this, I've lost all this weight. I'm looking good. You know, are you going to throw away your goals, 25
no.
pounds? Or are you going to keep telling yourself that you can eat peanut M&Ms and eat off plan because this is as far as I've come?
Don't go to the peanut M&Ms. Those are my fave. I need to take those off my protocol completely because those things are, they're addictive.
No, you need to plan them as exceptions.
Yeah, but how do you deal with exception foods that are, they're really hard to stop? I mean, aren't there, doesn't
That's
anybody
a thought.
Else?
You can stop. You can stop.
I don't want to.
Okay. That's
in
the
that
key.
Moment.
That's the key. Don't tell yourself I can't stop. Tell yourself I don't want to stop.
And why don't I?
And why don't I? Is this the last peanut ever M&M ever in the history of the world?
Oh no.
Oh no.
And they're not that good, really. When it boils down to it, they're not. But okay. I will go look at realistic planning.
Yeah.
And I will look at my goals again too.
Yeah, I would.
Because I don't need to give myself any more justifications.
Yeah. Get your marching orders, lady.
I do. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye.
Bye. Kiki, I see you in the chat. She's saying she's so frustrated that she didn't know about exception meals. Don't be frustrated, girl. If you just started, you're just working your way through the program. Some of these people have been around a minute. Exception planning is in module 2. We are just on module 2 this week. So be gentle with yourself. Give yourself some grace to learn at your own pace, okay? Lindsay and then Lisa. Yeah, I just started 2 today, she says. Yeah. All right, Lindsay. There you are.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay. So I wanted to get on tonight because I received some from some feedback at work today.
Okay.
And it hit me in a place that made me like instantly emotional.
Okay.
I have a new position at work, and so I mean, realistically, I've been at it for about August 1st, so not very long. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've worked in the organization for 4 years, but mm-hmm. I got a promotion or whatever. So mm-hmm. working through some things, and I had solicited some feedback today and, you know, was talking through something that I led yesterday with a colleague. And one of the things that came up is him kind of giving me the feedback that do I need to feel like I can control everything that happens within the meeting and with people versus planning it with, like, I want to be seen as someone who plans with intention, but then can let things unfold the way that they do, and be okay with that. And, so I just did a TDO on it because when he started talking about it, it immediately brought tears to my eyes because I feel like for my whole entire life, I've received the feedback that I am not, I'm not flexible and easygoing and able to roll with things. And I always felt like I could hide a lot of that in my professional life and didn't let that guide me there. And now that I receive that feedback in my professional life, it really hit me in a hard place today. So,
why was that hard to hear?
Because I feel like I've come so far.
Okay. So what do you have?
And that's what I wrote. Like, I've come so far. And I've come so far on this weight loss journey too. And when Corinne talks about, like, people that don't know how to get started or can't get started, like, that's not me. And it hasn't been. And, I think it stems back from being told, getting that feedback just growing up that I couldn't roll with things. And so I guess I'm trying to sort out too, like, what's the difference between, like, being in control of things and having intention? Because I do feel like with this plan, like, there is some level of having to be in control and being conscious and intention. But I also don't want to be seen as someone who's inflexible and isn't, because I'm very curious. And, like, what you explained to one of the callers earlier about, I think it was the first one, when she was talking about, you know, you were talking about how you want people to create their plan. Like, I get all that because I've had enough, you know, experience with coaching and things like that. But, like, that's the condition I want to create in our organization, where people are curious and want to do things. And that we build a trust where we can have those conversations that are courageous, but collaborative. But so it felt like just, it's not the way that I wanted to show up.
All right. So tell me exactly in one sentence, I guess was it your boss or an executive or somebody?
A colleague.
All right. Your colleague said what? Your colleague said exactly what?
He said that I think you have a need to want to control what happens or control things. Like, you present things in a very controlled way.
Okay. So colleague says you present things in a controlled way.
Yeah.
All right. What is your thought about that?
So my thought, I started my model when you were on with other calls. So, and my circumstance was I sought feedback today, but I guess it could have been what
it's
you said.
Exactly what he said, because that's the pain point for you.
Yeah. So I wrote, I'm so much better than I ever used to be. If he only knew me when.
Okay. What's the feeling?
Defeated. That's what I wrote down.
I'm so much better than I used to be creates defeated for you?
Yeah, that's the word that came to me.
Interesting. I would think defeated would be, I'll never get this, or I'll never be flexible, or something like that. I'm so much better than I used to be indicates progress to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, part of me wanted to, you know, like, just say too, like, you know, all this other work that I've been doing in this, and I look around it, and I know I shouldn't compare, but like, I look around at my colleagues and things like that, and I see the inflexibility and lack of like willing to take action because they're afraid of what the next step is. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I have that with P&P, and I don't feel like I have that in my job, but maybe I do. And I'm just not recognizing it in myself, because some of the challenges or situations or concerns they bring up to me seem very, they seem like minutia. Like, I think about it from a bigger picture or whatever. And I'm doing generally the same work as them, but I have just kind of more of a leadership role, if that makes sense. So we're all kind of doing the same work.
Okay.
But,
you know, what if he just has an opinion?
Yeah, he does. And I mean, I thought that too, but I think the reason it was such a pain point for me is because that's what I heard all of my growing up from my family, especially from my mom.
It's a pain point for you because of a thought you have today, not because of something in the past.
Right.
And the thought today is, I've always been this way.
Well, the other thought is that, I mean, it goes back to, am I doing well enough in this new job?
Oh, you know, I mean, that's too, what it is.
Well, it does. I mean, it does go back to that too. Because I also want to be a model for people to like take risk and experience discomfort and grow from that. And that's what I want our organization to do. But we're still working in like the phases of like creating our culture and things like that. And
but that doesn't bring on defeated.
Well,
if you feel defeated, it's because you're never going to get it right. You're just laying down going, I'm done.
Well,
defeated.
The defeated for me comes, I think, because of that. I mean, I don't know that I've talked to you twice. I don't know that you would necessarily remember that because I didn't talk to, but it goes back to that frickin' book I have about myself. And I guess I was kind of surprised by my reaction today too. But it just hit me in a place that was so like, oh crap.
It's because it's practiced. It's that thought that you're inflexible, that belief you have about yourself, that you're inflexible, that he validated, basically, just by giving an opinion, by giving you some feedback.
Yeah.
Is feedback a bad thing?
No, and I sought it, so it's not like and I think that that's the other thing that surprised me, that I had such a reaction, because, and we have, like, I'm not, like, I'll go back and circle back with Mara. Like, it's not like it's not like a situation where I'm not feeling bad about, you know, that or anything. And I give him feedback, like, you know, that's fine. But I think my reaction embarrassed me a little bit. I'm still crying about it. Like, it just, it hit me in a place that was really like hard.
And his reason for giving the feedback or his thoughts are all irrelevant here, because that's all his model. That's all you know, everything.
Right.
Your model has defeated in the feelings line.
Yeah.
And I don't think you like that.
No, I don't.
Right. And I also don't think, though, that you 100% believe his assessment.
No, because I have a lot of evidence that, and I have also, I mean, from his perspective, like, he's very on the far end of the spectrum of being very free. And I probably ride a little bit more in the middle.
Right.
Because I don't.
So why are you giving so much emotion to his opinion?
I don't know. Just because I don't want to be viewed.
Can you control how you're viewed?
No, I don't. But that's that's why.
Yeah. I want him to say that you're doing everything fantastic.
No, it doesn't go that far because I know I'm not.
Okay.
I wouldn't have sought out the feedback if I didn't want it. Like, that's why I think it was just so surprising to me that, I mean, as soon as he said it, like, it immediately hit me. So, and hit me hard. But again, like, I'm just trying to figure out, the other thing I want to be, I don't know if innovative is the word, but trying to also kind of shape and mold the position that I have now into what I want it to be versus the previous person. And I don't know if I'm not giving myself enough credit that I am doing that or that I'm not doing that. But I also have to be realistic that I've only been in the position for, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks. Like, what the heck when I think about that. So that's ridiculous too. That's a ridiculous, unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, let's not judge your expectations or whatever. Yeah. Let's just see what your expectations are and allow yourself to evolve into them. Okay.
So I also don't want to be viewed as not growth focused and not, because I mean, it's definitely, I am a very reflective person. I reflect all the time.
You're spending a lot of time worried about how other people are seeing you. You even ask someone how he sees you. I think your work is to work on how you see yourself and where you see what you see yourself creating. You touched on it a little bit, how you wanted to affect the job, how you wanted to evolve the job. That's where your focus needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, you can seek feedback all you want, as long as you understand that it's someone else's opinion that you get to decide whether you believe or not.
Right.
Okay. I ask Corinne for feedback all the time.
Yes.
Okay. And yes. I trust her to give me feedback based on what she needs from me in this business.
Right.
Now, if I were to go to some other coach and ask for feedback, I don't know that I would trust their feedback as much because it's not their business. All right. But they would still have an opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about that. I'm in very close. I know that I'm doing what the expectations that my boss has for me. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm meeting those. I mean, I'm in very close contact with her, and I'm checking in with her on a regular basis, and not because I feel like I need to make sure that I'm doing it right necessarily, but just because for communication purposes and those kinds of things.
If she were the one that said, "Hey, you know, Lindsay, you're a little bit controlled here. Let's loosen up a little bit." Would it have evoked the same emotion?
I probably would have been more, I don't know.
That's something to be interested in, because you ask a guy who's your opposite. And of course he's going to say, you know, if he's really free, of course he's going to say what he said.
Right.
Just know feedback. I had to do an awful lot of work on the word feedback, on the feedback I was receiving, especially as a new coach when I started out.
Mm-hmm.
I had to really, really tell myself that feedback was an opportunity to learn.
It wasn't
a judgment. It actually is a judgment, but it wasn't a negative thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And once I wrapped my arms around the fact that it was okay not to be perfect, it was okay to evolve, it was okay to grow, it was okay to learn, then I didn't get quite so upset or emotional when I got feedback.
Well, what's interesting about it though, is there were other pieces of the feedback that were totally fine, but for whatever reason, this particular part of it was what hit me.
Yeah. Because so it wasn't your brain's even, always it looking for the problems.
There was a lot of other things that we discussed that weren't, I don't want to say positive. So I don't feel like I can't take it. Mm-hmm. It's just for whatever reason, this little part really hit with me. So, but I agree with you. And I really like your framing around, you know, thinking about, and I know you can solicit feedback and take it or not, but I mean, what you were saying, your feedback from Corinne is going to be different than another coach, but mm-hmm. Corinne's opinion matters most because she's mm-hmm. the one that has the vision for whatever it is that's happening. And maybe that's where I somewhat feel lost because I feel like I have a vision for what I would like to see, but I don't know that we have a vision from the very, you know, from the very top or from like the whole organization. And so that part's hard because I feel like I'm kind of creating along as I go, you know? So
interesting. You think that's hard?
Well,
if you don't have a lot it's of direction hard, but it's and also, you get to take it where you want,
it's hard, but it's also an opportunity.
Yeah. Like,
you know, which I said today mm-hmm. too, because he said something about my position being very difficult. And I said, challenging. I said, well, I don't really see it as a challenge. I can see it as an opportunity, mm-hmm. you know? So, but I also don't want to model what I would expect other people to do when I give them feedback. And I do it in a way that's not where it might not even be feedback, like feel like feedback, but you know, I'm able to just have conversations with people because I have relationships with them. So yeah, I think overall, like I was just so incredibly shocked about my reaction today. And I don't know if there were other things I was thinking that, you know, led to that or whatever, but it really hit me. So
maybe that's where your work is.
Yeah.
If that's what created all that emotion, maybe yeah. that's where your work is. Maybe you know that that's a weakness of yours.
Yeah.
And that it's something that you, why don't you embrace it as something that you're willing to fail at in order to improve?
Yeah. Yeah.
I really love that concept. You know, I actually have a list. I'm looking at it on my wall over here of things I'm willing to fail at in order to grow. And it's things like being a perfectionist, things like my own self-judgment, prioritizing, scheduling, making decisions.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're willing to fail at being flexible in order to see opportunities for growth in your flexibility.
Right. Well, I also compared and contrasted my home life to my work life. And if you asked my kids or my husband if I was flexible, they would say absolutely not, because I'm really not at home that much. But I think the other thing is I thought I hit it better at work. Maybe I don't.
Maybe you don't need to. I don't know. Maybe it's just something. Maybe that's just where your growth point is right now.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's what Lindsay does to improve herself.
Yeah.
Something to ponder.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that's, I guess that's where I am with it. So, mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I've been totally embraced that in PNP. I wanted to say, well, I've got all this evidence that says I am, you know, and it's like, at least
and maybe
myself.
You do, you know, don't discount the fact, you know, maybe on a scale of 1 to 100,
yeah.
you used to be a 1 on the flexibility yeah. factor. And maybe yeah. now you're a 20 or a 25.
Yeah. I would
maybe
say
there is growth. Don't discount the growth.
Yeah. I would say I'm even closer more to the middle because I
yeah.
Work with people who I feel yeah. are less. And I see just people in the world that I'm like,
right.
Oh, come on. It's like, this really isn't a big deal and we'll get through it and all these things.
I tell people all the time, you're not going to go from 1 to 100 overnight in
yeah.
weight loss, when you're binging, when you're doing this, when you're for flexibility, it's an evolvement. It's a growth point that yeah. takes time, that takes practice, that takes intention.
Yeah.
So just give yourself some grace and recognize the progress that you have made.
Yeah.
This is one guy's opinion, his
right.
thought. Right.
Right.
You have your own set of thoughts.
Right. And I was applying it to things, you know, with just like, I mean, I think one of the most freeing parts of PNP for me has been that you can make a mistake and you just do your next best decision or your next best choice. And like Corinne giving us that permission was so freeing. And I do think that that's been one of the biggest, I mean, there's other things, but that's been one of the biggest things that's helped me to have such success in my weight loss. Because any other time I've ever done anything, it was, I failed. So, okay, well, you know, now let me go eat whatever for the next 3 weeks and then feel
crappy. So you've learned flexibility in your weight loss program.
Oh my God, huge.
You've learned to give yourself grace in your weight loss program.
Yeah, because otherwise I was just like that perfectionism of, well, I messed up, so it's over and I'm never going to be able to do this. Like every time I make a mistake, I say, you know, you just make your next best choice and I just move on and it's not a big deal. So I think maybe because I've felt so proud of myself for that in this, that was another thing like, well, crap, you know, maybe I'm really not, but because that's been so freeing. And I know that I wouldn't have even been able to keep going had I not had given myself that permission.
Yeah.
Through, you know, all of this. So
it's a beautiful thing about this program. There's so much that she teaches that applies in everywhere in life if you look for it.
Well, I know that I'm supposed to be on this journey right now because of all the different things that, you know, I'm juggling and working with that I think that I would have gotten them done, but I would have been completely miserable. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the time, because I'm taking classes and, you know, just doing a lot of stuff. And, I just, every time I go and meet with the people that are also, you know, working and taking classes and things like that, they talk about how overwhelmed they are and how busy they are. And after, you know, our month of August, like I refuse to even use those vocabulary words anymore. Mm-hmm. I just know, like, I feel so blessed that you guys are here. so blessed.
Good. Good deal.
So, I'm only, so, I mean, a huge victory is I'm like 5 pounds a century club, which I'm super excited about.
That's awesome.
So, I still have quite a bit to go, but that's like, didn't seem remotely attainable when I think about where I was in January. So yeah,
you're doing good work.
You guys have changed my life. So.
No, you've changed your
life. I know.
You've done the work.
You've got all that out there. So.
All right, lady, you take care.
Sorry to cry through this whole thing.
That's okay. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Kathy.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Lisa, then Anisha.
Oops. Can you see me?
Not yet. Let's see if that helps. Did it send you a little message? There you go. Hi.
Oh, there I am.
I can see you.
Okay. What's up? Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm nervous. This is my first Zoom call.
Okay. Well, welcome. Welcome to Zoom.
Yay. Okay. I am struggling with models.
Okay.
And I have a couple of situations that I just wanted to see if we could. If you can help me go through the model.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm going to get my little whiteboard.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is my husband and I are trying to move to Houston. I am living in my parents' home, and I've been here for about 5 months. And he's been in our other town. We've been going back and forth. And I'm disappointed that he hasn't gotten a job yet. And it looks like I may have to go back, and I don't want to, So my circumstance is my husband's name is Rich. So he hasn't gotten a job yet. And then my thought, I think my thought is I'm feeling disappointed, but to me that feels like
that's the feeling. Why are you disappointed?
I'm disappointed that he hasn't put in the effort to get a job here. And he's just now starting this last month to finally put in the effort. And I'm disappointed because I really wanted us to move here.
Okay.
And then my feeling is disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And my action is to overeat. And my result is eating to numb the disappointment. Is that what, would that be my result?
Not quite. I'm going to ask you for more things that you do when you're disappointed about him not finding a job. Do you fuss at him? Do you complain? Do you give him the cold shoulder?
I usually complain to him, but I'm not a real complainer because I don't want him to say that I'm nagging him, because there's a whole thing, his mom always nagging him, and I don't want to.
So you pretty much, then you withdraw.
I withdraw. Yes.
Okay. All right.
I'm a real big people pleaser.
Your result is that you disappoint yourself.
Oh, okay.
Because you're overeating, you're withdrawing from your husband, you're complaining, you're not showing up.
Yes.
Either. Because of your judgment of him not doing his work hard enough. So you're not doing your work hard enough either, because you're overeating and complaining.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Don't like that, do you?
No. But that's okay. I need it. I've just really been like, you know, writing stuff, not getting there. But yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it is.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll write a model like this and I'll get about to the action line and I'll know what the result's going to be. And I'm like, no, that's not the result I want. So what else you got?
Okay.
Oh, well, let me read. Let's, for the people who listen to the replay, I want to read the, I'm going to read the model. Okay. So her C line, I went ahead and made it very defined. You're living at your parents' house for 5 months because you're trying to move, yet your husband has no job yet. Okay. Your thought is he hasn't put in the effort to find a job. The feeling is disappointment. The action is, and when you feel disappointed, your actions are overeating, numbing, complaining, withdrawing. And when you do those things, you disappoint yourself. So that's the result one.
Okay. Well, okay. Right. Second one.
Okay.
I kind of feel like this is going to be the same thing.
Okay. Is the same line the same? We're still dealing with Rich not having a job and you live in a...
No.
Okay.
We have two adult daughters who are special needs.
Okay.
And this past weekend, we took them out. When we get them together, it's very busy. I'm trying not to use overwhelm. So we took them out to a fast food restaurant, and my thought was that I need to watch them because they will get into things, and usually I kind of corner them in to a booth.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our daughters was out and she was grabbing stuff, and it just was unmanageable to me. So I was feeling tense and frustrated with her. and with the whole situation, I guess my thought was, is that...
Oh, I'll tell you what your thought is.
That this was my fault, that I brought them into this place, and I should have not done that. I knew better.
Okay. And I was... Well, we could model that. I thought your thought might be they're unmanageable.
No, they can be, but... Okay. But, yeah.
All right. So I knew better. I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have brought
right.
them.
Right. Okay. And so even though I had prepared and ate before we picked them up, it wasn't enough food. And so I was planning on getting a salad there, but instead I ate the ice cream cake that they had there.
Okay. So when and you said I shouldn't have brought them, how did that make you feel?
I felt like I knew better than to take both of them in there like that, because it's too much for them.
What's that feeling? What's that one word feeling?
Oh, I was frustrated. And I was tense. I could feel it tense in my. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up overeating, mm-hmm. and I overate mm-hmm. to numb the feelings.
Yeah.
Of being disappointed in myself. Mm-hmm. I went through the self-love course. I'm really doing good. I see I have more work there.
I think you're right. I think your result line here again is that you're disappointed in yourself.
Yeah.
Because you didn't show up the way you wanted to.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So what you have here is you have a manual. You know the term the manual?
Mm-hmm.
You have one for yourself.
Oh boy. My man,
instead of giving yourself the grace to be you and to handle things as they come up, you have this expectation that you should handle everything beautifully. You should handle this husband. You should handle these kids. You should handle everything like, you know, you've got it all together.
Yes.
What if you give yourself the grace to make a few mistakes, to, you know, choose a little, maybe you shouldn't have chosen the cake or the whatever, or, you know, maybe you allow your kids to be them. Understanding, you know, what constraints you need to put on them. Maybe you allow your husband to be him.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. When you accept yourself as you are and the people around you, you get a whole lot more peace in life. You're not frustrated. You're not trying to numb. You're not tense. You're not disappointed.
No.
You're accepting and you're evolving. And you're allowing people to be themselves and loving them anyway.
Yes.
You're like, eek, Kathy.
No, got me right here. I know this is where I need to work on. Can we also do the intentional?
Absolutely.
So that I can kind of work on these things.
Okay.
All right.
So do you have one?
On the first one, Rich hasn't gotten a job yet. And then my thought, well, shoot, now I'm not going to remember because let's see, what would my thought be?
How do you want to feel about Rich? What's intentional? What is the intentional feeling about Rich not having a job?
I want it to be okay.
Be patient with him?
Yes, I do. Because,
When you're patient with him about not having a job, what do you do?
I usually withdraw.
You withdraw. You don't accept him. You don't love him.
You don't do those things?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And is withdraw the right word, or is it that you just, you know, have a calmer presence? You just come.
I do have a calmer presence.
Right.
Yeah.
So what kind of thought do you have to create this feeling of patience?
An accepting one, a loving, mm-hmm. compassionate.
So what thought would that be?
Compassionate.
That's a feeling.
Oh, what thought? Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm trying to formulate it into a sentence. Let's see. I always like that. I'm just feeling.
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking that it's okay, mm-hmm. to give him time to get the job if that is what he wants to do.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I'm making him do this.
Yeah. If that's what he wants to do. Yeah, that's a beautiful thought that creates patience, creates acceptance, compassion, all those things that you want to feel.
Okay.
Because ideally, when you all move to Houston, you want him to, mm-hmm. find a job that he's happy with.
Yes, I do.
That provides what it needs to provide for your family.
Yeah.
So you giving him the space to do that and to do it from a place of compassion rather than disappointment. Makes, mm-hmm. you feel better about it, how you show up better in your marriage, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Yep. And so then my feeling would be acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Mm-hmm. Or patience or something, mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. And then my action is not going to be overeating because I'm going to be calm. So
right.
My action is just going to be a satisfying feeling.
Oh, you're back to the feelings. You're good at the feelings.
I feel a lot.
when you accept him and when you are compassionate with him, you give him the space and the, it's more like what you don't do, you know, because the action line can be things you do, don't do, or the way you react. So okay. What you're not doing is you're not judging him. You're not overeating, you're not complaining, you're not doing those things.
Not.
You're just allowing him to take this job hunt, you know, in the way he wants to take it. Right?
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that results in, you know, a happier Lisa and a happier and a happier, yeah. Rich and an easier,
yes.
transition and all those things as he's looking for that job. Right.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Cause I was putting a lot of feelings in these and I wasn't figuring out how to get these things. I really like these new thought download pages.
Have you seen the journal page where it has the planner on the place page,
yeah.
It says journal. It actually says it helps you work through the model. So it says,
yeah.
Write one circumstance or fact.
Do you know though, on my printer, I have a new one coming, but the, uh-huh. yellow doesn't show up really well in on my screen, so where there's a yellow box on there, it's real hard to read what it says in those boxes.
There's no yellow boxes. Everything is teal.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I wonder where I got that one. It had like a pink, a yellow.
Oh, that must be somebody else's. Everything, this is what Corinne's looks like. See, it's all.
Oh, okay. Well, okay, no, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
So it must be somebody else's that, yeah. I picked up and saw.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to pmptribe.com and log in and you go to the toolkit,
uh-huh.
in the planner,
there's pages, you can print out the pages of the new planner there. You can look at them there and see if those print easier for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's all I had.
All right. Good call. I love working the model.
Oh, well, and thanks so much.
You're welcome. For all the newbies on this call, model is actually in module
It's a little down there.
Yeah, it's in module 4. In Fat Girl Thinking. That's when we show you how thoughts create feelings, which,
and when
you have a feeling, you do certain things, and that's what creates the results. So module 4, you'll get that one at the end of the month.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I have lost 41 pounds since June, and I really was overeating a lot. So
isn't it amazing when you realize that? Well, good for you.
When your meal is so small, you're just like, but I don't need any more.
I know. It's almost sad, isn't it? It's like, but really, I want some more.
No.
Well, good work.
But yeah. But
I'm super proud of you.
I'm thrilled.
41 pounds and doing models. Good for you, Lisa.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Thanks for talking with me.
You're welcome. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Anisha, then Crystal.
Can you see me, Kathy?
Not yet. Let's see if that helps.
Let me say okay.
There you are.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm living the dream. How are you?
I'm good. Living the dream, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
I had a boss one time. He used to say that all the time. He was a cancer survivor and an open heart surgery survivor. And he just knew he was on borrowed time. So every time you asked him, how you doing, Jeff? He'd say, I'm living the dream.
That's awesome. I do that. Or I say, if I was any better, I'd need a twin.
Oh, I love that. So what's up with you? What's going on?
I'm a September baby, brand new to the program. One of the questions I had was about modeling. So sweet, precious Lisa kind of cleared that out for me.
Sweet, but precious. She is sweet and precious, wasn't she?
She made my heart happy. She was precious.
Yeah, she
was. So I'm really right now, the way this all kind of transpired for me was I stumbled across, tomorrow is my 100th day of sobriety.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's amazing.
I was choked up about that, but.
Oh, that's amazing. Good for you.
All I can say is if getting thin feels anything like this, then it's going to be great.
Oh, I have goosebumps, girl. I have goosebumps. That's amazing.
Oh, let me get it together. So I saw, I'm kind of like, oh, wow, I can kind of start taking care of myself now. And so I've, my adult life, I've always been big. So I was really looking forward to, eating right and exercising and kind of just desperate to start anything. Mm-hmm. And so something had come up, like a boot camp 10-week challenge thing had come up on my Facebook, and I signed up for that. And it's supposed to be, like meals and coaching and working out, and all that kind of stuff. And the very next day, I stumbled across that Corinne, and it was kind of like, she is speaking my language. Yeah. And the first time, like the whole idea of not just dieting, but changing my lifestyle and doing it right seemed attainable. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you can tell, but I'm totally on fire for it. Drank Kool-Aid. I'm on board.
Me too, girl. 6 years, still drinking the Kool-Aid. Yeah, I'm telling you, best stuff ever.
Well, I'm all in. Like, I've already listened, like, my first time through all the modules. Mm-hmm. My first week, so I started on the 6th, and the first kind of full week for me while I was waiting for my workbook to come in, because I didn't want to off pages because I wanted the workbook.
Yeah.
I just kind of was listening to what she was saying seeing what I was actually doing in my real life. And it just kind of really cemented the whole thing for me. Mm-hmm. So I started yesterday with my 24-hour plans. Today's day 2 for me. And I also started working out yesterday.
Okay.
So like today, when I went to my workout class, they all think I'm doing their 10-week challenge meal plan because I just don't want to argue about it. I'll do my thing, which is y'all's thing, and I'll see my results and everybody will be happy. and I can sing the praises, you know, after I prove that things are going great. But today, so at the end of class, he was talking about the meals that they're supposed to be eating and getting their carbohydrates in and their proteins in and all that kind of stuff, like sandwiching your workout around those kind of foods. And I know yesterday I did eat 2 to 2. I stuck to my plan. But after that first workout, because mama's out of shape, I mean, if I had not packed a banana for after the gym and planned that banana, I would have been in a 9-line bind to get home. So today I knew that, you know, like blood sugar was low kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. So knowing that today, I kind of tweaked it and had, you know, like I had turkey meat and cheese with an avocado before I went in, thinking that would kind of sustain me a little better. Does Corinne have anything out there? Do y'all have anything out there about, you know, eating on your 2 to 2, but if you're going to do some sort of physical workout, kind of a way to plan to be able to sustain working out better? Does that make sense?
How long are your workouts?
They're 30 minutes. So it's a kind of.
Yeah. So you really shouldn't need anything to sustain your workout. I would not go in on a full stomach if it's a boot camp. I would eat at least an hour beforehand or wait until afterwards. Biggest thing you're going to need to do is make sure you have lots of water.
Okay. That was something too, because I was so sore today, but I was kicking back that water, but then it was like so hard to sit on the toilet to pee and I kept.
Yeah. That the water is actually going to help the soreness a little bit too, but so will a little bit of movement. Are you doing these boot camps every day?
My non-negotiable or my protocol, I guess you would say, I have to go to those classes 3 days a week and move every day, whether it be a stretch class or a yoga class or walking every day.
Yeah, you're going to want to stretch or yoga or something between those classes. I would also make sure, even if it's 3 times a week, I don't know, are they like upper body, lower body, full body?
Full body.
They're full body 3 times a week. Just be real careful that you don't, especially being a new exerciser, that you don't overdo it. Okay. If you're super sore, like I can tell leg day, I know what it's like trying to go to the bathroom after leg day, then you probably want to give your legs more than a couple of days to repair. Okay. But you want to move in between that time too. So, you know, a little bit of walk, a little bit of stretching, all the water and everything is going to help that. The other beautiful thing is Epsom salt baths.
Oh, amen.
Where are you from? I just love you.
Oh, I'm a hot mess. I'm from South Texas, but I live in Louisiana now.
So. Uh-huh. I knew you were a Southern girl. I knew you were. But as far as fueling around those goes, you just need to pay attention to your body. Okay. Make sure, you know the difference between an actual blood sugar drop and just fatigue. Okay.
Yeah.
After the workout. Because that, you know, that's not necessarily the same thing. And then, you know, just follow your 2s, you know, just be real cognizant of when that, what they are. You don't have to eat right after a work. You don't have to have like a protein shake right after a workout to see the benefits of the workout. All that's debunked. All of that is just not necessary. Okay. So just, I would just stick to my 2s and I would eat food that makes your body feel good and perform well. You know, none of this, you know, junk, you know, for lunch, if you're going to have a big workout, you know, after work, eat something that's nice and hearty and full of vitamins and good, you know, good whole foods, good meats, not, you know, bologna or something. I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? Put good food, good fuel in your body if you're expecting it to perform in these boot camps. Okay. I like the turkey cheese avocado idea. That's a good idea. I love avocado.
Salt and pepper. It was on time.
Mm-hmm. It's on time. Look at you. You're awesome. You're awesome. I love that you've joined this challenge with them, yet you're doing the food like we're teaching you, because I'm a believer that this is the way to go with the food.
You know,
100%.
They sent me their meal plan and they were like, you know, you can have 2 pieces of gum today, a gum a day, and it needs to be this brand. And I was like,
what?
Yes, that was part of their thing. Like, eat these pure, you know, you can have 2 pieces a day. And I said that. move on over. I'm going to eat my tuna too.
Yeah, no, too, but this branded gum, that's, they probably sold it there too.
Probably.
So are you going back through since you have your planner and stuff now, you going back through at a slower pace and taking notes and all that kind of stuff?
I ate it all up and I listened to it all. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing everything that they're doing each week.
Perfect. Cause you'll hear it differently the second time.
Right.
You'll pick up different things. Good deal.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
You're welcome. You got anything else?
No. Yeah. I love y'all. Thank you so much.
You're awesome. You come back anytime, girl. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Crystal, you're next. I wonder why these videos aren't coming up. Crystal, are you there? Oh, there you are.
I'm here.
Hi.
Yeah, so when it came up automatically, it came up with my video turned off. It was at the very bottom of my screen.
It's so interesting.
So, bottom.
The last few people I've had to ask you all to start your video. That's interesting.
I was asked to both start my video or my audio and then start my video. So, yeah.
Okay.
So, I came outside to get away from the noise of my kids. But anyway, so... I don't really know kind of what direction to go with this, but I have noticed over the last month or so that I've had a lot more overeats.
Mm-hmm.
More so overeating at the ends of meals, like not watching for my twos, but also some off-plan or overeats. And so I do know that I've had one change of circumstance, which is that we put an offer in on a house that's supposed to close later this week. And I really think that I've got a lot of thoughts around how that has happened, because it was kind of unexpected. And so I hadn't had a chance to really think through all of that, and it kind of moved fast. I really think that probably has a lot to do with it, but I don't really know where to go with it. I've been trying to do some TDLs on it. I've got a couple of them in front of me. The most recent one, I will look down here. Sorry. When we were talking through like the repairs lists, and I got really frustrated because my husband and I couldn't agree on how to handle what was being negotiated. And I know kind of my thought after journaling for two pages was I make decisions and get blamed for the results. So I know that's not really true, because I try not to make big decisions like that by myself, obviously, because I'm part of a family, but it felt really true that maybe that happens sometimes. I don't even know what I mean by blame, but I don't know how to like circle back around and keep like calm myself down about this house buying process, I guess.
So what's the problem with the house buying process?
It's just I'm getting really anxious, I think, about it.
Why are you getting anxious?
I don't know. And that's what I've been trying to write about.
If you had to guess, okay, let's put buying a house in the circumstance line. And anxious is in the feelings line. If you had to guess, what makes you anxious about buying this house?
Probably one of two things. Either one is there's so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the other would be, what if this is not what I'm supposed to do? What if I make the wrong choice, I guess?
Okay. So that's probably what it is. You're questioning the decision. And there's so much to do.
Right. It's almost like I can't think about whether or not I'm making the right decision, because I'm spinning and overwhelmed trying to get all the things done.
Yes. It's not anxious. It's overwhelm.
Okay. Well, and I have felt a lot of overwhelm. And then the other night.
Actually, it could be two models.
You know, there's so much to do is definitely overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is the right choice. Could be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
So it might actually be two models.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, eating is going and overeats, off-plan eats, procrastination, all that mm-hmm. goes in the action line, probably of both models. Because if you're yeah. an overwhelm, right. you're not doing anything. You're confused. You're procrastinating.
Right.
You're spinning out.
I have a friend who came over. Sorry. I had a friend who came over last week to actually help me with packing.
Mm-hmm.
And she got done probably four times of what I got done in my own house.
Yeah.
In 1 4-hour period. So yeah. I was just like, I don't even know what to do. Just tell me what to do because I'm just spinning.
And it's your stuff, right?
I know.
So that's what's going on. It's probably the core thought is probably wondering if you're making the right choice.
Right.
Okay. Because if you're not making the right choice, or even if you are, there's still going to be stuff to do.
Right.
Right. So let's go after that one. Okay. Is this the wrong choice or is it the right choice? Just tell me.
It would have to be the right choice because it's already done.
Right. That's exactly the right answer.
I'm having a hard time actually like believing that, but yes.
But that's where you need to just shut it down.
Okay.
It might as well be the right choice.
Right.
Because it's done.
Right. So I mean, we haven't closed. Our closing date's supposed to be next week, but yeah. everything else is like moving in that direction.
Yeah. So what do you do? I mean, all right, so we're just going to put a box around that. It's done. House is bought. We're closing next week. That's done. We're setting that part aside. So what's next?
I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my current house.
Okay.
Which seems like a time crunch.
Are you confused about that?
I'm confused about whether or not I want to spend the time and money to repair and sell for a higher price versus sell it as is and let somebody else flip it.
Okay. So you're either as is or you repair.
Right.
Which is it going to be? If I told you I give you $10,000 to make that decision right now, which one would it be?
I'd walk away from it and make less money as long as it paid off the debt that I have left on the house.
No contingencies.
No contingencies.
Right. If you want my $10,000, you have to decide right now.
Oh. If there was no contingency that I could at least pay off what I owe, then I'd have to say I'd have to fix it.
So you'd hold on to it and fix it?
Oh, that scares me to death because I don't know how long that would take.
It doesn't matter. That's the next step. We're right here making a decision about as is or fix it up and sell it.
Right.
So you've decided you're going to fix it up and sell it.
No, I would like to say yes, but I can't make that decision without my husband, who would have to be the one doing the work.
Okay. You see where I'm going with this, right?
Right. Yeah.
You get out of overwhelm by making one
by making
step
a decision,
forward,
right?
And making a decision, and then deciding that decision is the correct decision. There's no looking back. Corinne bought a house in 5 hours. 5 hours.
I wish I could.
Oh, look, there's a house in Nolensville. We should look at it. It's in the radius. Oh, it has a pool. Done.
Sold.
Yeah. There's something about making a decision and deciding it's the right decision that allows you to move forward.
Right.
When I made the decision to leave my job of 32 years where I was, you know, building this great pension and doing this good work for the state of Tennessee and all that. When I made that decision and I turned in my notice, I knew that was it. I better decide we're moving forward. Or
right.
I could sit there in indecision and decide whether or not I was going to stay there or come here or whatever. Huge life change, right?
Yes.
All I did was upset myself day after day after day until I made the decision, wrote the letter, and gave it to my boss. And then I was like, oh, thank God I finally decided.
So it's funny that you said it. It took me 4 years to leave a job.
Yeah. But when you decided to leave, you were probably, like, I can't believe it took me 4 years to do this.
Absolutely. Yes.
All right. So here's what you need to do. Okay.
Set a timeline.
Yes. Yes. Okay. What's your timeline going to be for this decision about this house you're in?
2 weeks. Is that too long?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think that we need to get some of our stuff out of the house to know how much work we have to do. So I'm going to say 2 weeks.
Okay. 2 weeks. Okay. 2 weeks from today?
Sure.
Because I'm off on Wednesdays. October 1st.
Okay.
Guess who has office hours on October 1st?
Do you have office hours on October 1st?
I do.
Oh, you're going to hold me accountable to come back and tell you, aren't I?
In 2 weeks, I'm going to be looking for you, Crystal.
Okay.
To tell me what you're doing with your house.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll do my best.
No, ma'am.
No, I will do it.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'll do my best as a thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will do it as an action.
If you make this decision and you move into action, guess what you stop doing?
Spinning and trying to figure it out.
And overeating.
Yeah. So how do you... So I know I can only control my own thoughts and actions. So how do you help to rein in the other people that are necessary to make the decision without them continuing to spin and overwhelm?
You can't rein them in. You tell them, we've got 2 weeks.
Okay.
This is the decision, unless you change it in 2 weeks. For October 1st, we got to have a decision.
Okay. Yeah, my banker will be happy for me to have a plan too.
Yeah, your banker, your stomach, your pants, your husband.
Yeah.
What if your husband says, "Oh, thank God you talked to that girl tonight, Crystal, because I'm sick of this spinning around stuff. We got to decide."
He may like that. We're kind of at home at opposite hours too, which is what makes it kind of hard to sit down and have a conversation about it and make a plan. So we'll have to plan a meeting or two to talk about specifics. So,
well, you got 2 weeks. You'll figure it out.
Okay.
Got
it. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Thanks.
Go forth and do good work.
Yes, ma'am.
See you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. There are no other hands raised. So I'm going to hit this Q&A real quick. Let's bring it over here. Amanda says, where can I learn more about thought downloads and modeling? Is there a place to search? I'm trying to incorporate that. That in figuring out my BS. Amanda, module 4 of No BS is called Fat Girl Thinking. That is where Corinne goes through all the different aspects of journaling, thought downloading, and modeling. I will tell you this, though, pulling up my calendar. Let's see, today's the 15th. On September 30th, the Monday night Zoom at 6 p.m., Corinne is going to teach all things the model. It's going to be amazing. She has she's recently come up with a super cool way to teach it that's very understandable. Jody's asking about the model as well. So September 30th, Corinne is going to do this. That week of September 30th is when we do the No BS part of saying goodbye to Fat Girl Thinking and doing the model. But essentially, here's what the model is, okay? If you do your, I don't know if y'all can see that or not. This is the journal of the new planner. And at the bottom here, it walks you through how to do a model. And essentially what the model is a little diagram of how something you're thinking creates a result in your life, okay? So you have a thought
about something that happened, something somebody said, something in your past, something very neutral. That's the circumstance. You have a thought about it. That thought generates a feeling. Feeling is always one word, and it's an emotion or how something feels in your body. When you have a feeling, you do certain things. So for instance, when you're happy, you might sing, or you might dance, or you might smile, or you might laugh, right? When you're sad, your actions would be crying, or yelling, or complaining, or frowning, or ignoring people, or eating. All of your actions create a result. And if you've done your model all the way through to the result line, the result will prove the thought. So Corinne will go over all this in great detail in Module 4 and in the Zoom call on September 30th. Okay? It'll be super cool Zoom. But that's basically how the model works. All right? Lauren says, newbie here, can you give some details on the unintentional and intentional model or direct me on the website where to find? Wow, all these model questions. I love the model, y'all, seriously. So the unintentional model is the model that is playing right now that you don't really care for, okay? So let's say you have a model that has overeat in the action line, and you're overeating. Your thought is, this tastes so good, I don't want to stop. And your feeling is justified. And your action is you overeat. That means your result is that you didn't stop, right? So that proves your thought. That's the unintentional model. That's the one that's playing out right now that you want to change. The intentional model is the model you really, really want. So let's say that thought is, I want to eat the rest of this, but I'm not going to. And the feeling is empowered. The action then is you stop eating at your plus two, and the result is that you didn't overeat, right? Even though you wanted to. So that's the intentional model. The intentional one is the one you want. It's the one you want to create. The unintentional one is the one that's happening right now. Okay? I hope that explains it. I hope it explains it pretty clearly. But like I said, that's module four. And we'll be doing that one in a couple of weeks. Right now, Corinne had an amazing Zoom last night. I don't know if y'all caught it. It's up. Sadie has it already posted in the podcast on fueling the body and on food protocols. Super good last night. So that's what we're studying this week, along with food prep and exceptions and building your own healthy protocol. We talked about that on the call a little bit. Then next week, we're going to go over setting goals. What happens when the new of the program wears off? You know, everybody gets really excited about the new of the program, right? Oh, yay, new program. Anisha, look at her tonight, right? She's like, I'm all in. After a little bit, though, it gets a little tedious, gets a little hard. You start to go, I don't know if I'm getting all the results I need. You know, you start getting a little doubts. Well, we talk about that in module three. In unit seven, which is called What to Do When the Shit Gets Real, right? Then module four is all about the model. And then module five is super cool. That'll be the first week in October. We start talking about urges to overeat and habits and things like that. So Corinne has built you all an amazing, amazing program in the No BS Success Path. And like I said earlier in the call, I've been through it several times and I'm going through it again. In fact, Coach Betsy and our community manager, y'all know Mary Jo, and our event planner, Paula, and I have a thread that's pinned to the top of the announcement, in the announcements to the top of the PNP Tribe Facebook group, where we're posting our worksheets as we go through the No BS this time. So feel free to go over there and take a look at our stuff. Does anybody have anything else? Let's look at the calendar real quick and see what next week's call is.
talked about September 30th call, but this coming week is the September 23rd. It's a Q&A on the future self, which is all the goal setting and the, you know, how to figure out who you want to be, you know, what you want your weight to be, what you're going to look like, what you're going to do. Who is that person, you know, maybe 6 months from now or a year from now when you make goal weight? What does she look like? What's she feeling? How good does she feel? What's she doing? That's all future self. All right. Let's see. Janice says the call, the protocol call was awesome. I have gone through it every time we have newbies going through it again. Yeah. The no BS. Love it. Learn something new every time. That's what happens. I'm serious. Every time you go through, you hear something new. Julie wants to know the next coaching call with me. Well, I do office hours every Tuesday night at 6. Every now and then, if you'll check the tribe calendar, the training calendar on pptribe.com, if Corinne can't make a call, for some reason she's traveling a lot over the next few weeks. Sometimes I'll pick up one of her Wednesday calls or one of her Sunday calls. Sometimes Betsy will pick it up. But by and large, I am here every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. Good, better, best. Can you explain just a bit? I went through my planner and most of my choices are not falling in the good. I'm wondering if I'm overdoing this, diet mentality hitting me. I'd have to see what you're saying. Tell me what you think. You say not falling in the good. You mean not. I need some more information. Give me an example of what you're talking about. And you can either put it in the Q&A here or you can put it in the chat. I've got both pulled up. I did my good, better, best. I think I have it downstairs. And I was trying to think of one of the ones that I did. I had thin crust veggie pizza. And then for better, I had cauliflower crust pizza. And then for best, I had cauliflower crust pizza with veggies only, no, you know, pepperoni or sausage. I love cauliflower crust pizza, by the way. Costco has a really good one. Another one I had was, we eat at the Burger Republic a lot. So I'll go in and try and decide good, better, best on my burger. So I will have, you know, good might be a burger without the bun with cheese and pickles. Better might be a burger without the bun with just pickles and tomatoes, lettuce, whatever. And best might be a turkey burger with the pickles, the tomatoes, and the lettuce. That's how good, better, best works. I'm not real crazy about a turkey burger, so I'm probably sticking with the better and just eating to my two, which is okay. So I hope that helps you. Good is something that's on your protocol. Better is leveling it up just a little bit. Best is leveling it up in the best way you can think of, but still enjoying what you're eating, right? Another example that I had on my good, better, best that's and it's posted in that thread I was talking about was good might be an omelet. Better might be eggs with a little bit of cheese. And I eat cheese, y'all, because that's really the only dairy I get is full fat cheese. Best might be eggs with, might be, you know, like a fried egg with no cheese. So, you know, you just think about each one leveling up just a little bit. So I hope that helps because I didn't see any other comments there. All right. Let's make sure there's nothing else here. Most of my choices are like a salad for lunch. Yes. Me too. And the cauliflower crust pizza. Yes. El Matador breakfast quesadilla. Good. Better eggs, bacon with toast. Sure. Best might be, eggs, turkey, bacon, and whole wheat toast, you know, rather than white bread toast or, eggs, bacon, and one piece of toast instead of two pieces of toast. You know, just how can you level that up just a little bit? So I hope that helps. Okay. All right, y'all. That's it for tonight. I will see, Betsy will have office hours on Saturday at noon Central, and I'll be back next Tuesday. I hope you all have a good night. See ya.